Doc, you know...
I know Doc is the source of all information, but I am the one in the party who minored in American Indian sociological groupings. You could try asking me, John.
Sorry. Was I right about the influence of the Spanish and the Portuguese?
Of course you were, love. By the way, did anyone else notice that the guy without the shirt or pants was tattooed?
I did. In thick ridges, like snakes.
Right. Coils and also hundreds of dots around his thighs. Made him look like he was wearing Lycra cycling shorts. Not that any of you would know what Lycra cycling shorts are. Where was I?
Conquistadores.
Right. Most of the continent was overrun by European explorers. Most came from Spain or Portugal. Had a very strong influence right up to Skydark.
Unusual weapons. Only seen either of them in armaments books from pre-dark. Good guess on the Mauser. Bolt-action rifle, 6.5 caliber. Mauser Vergara. The M1904 model. Odd gun. Like to have a look at one. The bolt handle is set in front of the receiver bridge.
More like a manlicker?
Yeah. Hand blaster was also Portuguese. It's a Savage M915. Antique. Got some interesting details from what I remember about them.
What?
Shouldn't we be moving out of here? Sorry to interrupt all this male bonding talk about guns, but those three might come back with a bunch of friends.
In a minute, Mildred. They can't get back with help just yet. Go on, JB.
Delayed blowback action. Bit like the Model 12 Steyr. Way it's built, the actual barrel rotates. Slows the action down just a little. But it all starts to operate the moment you initiate the firing sequence. Spur cocking lever, set where you'd find the hammer. A spring-loaded striker on the old Savage gets itself released by the sear.
So the cocking lever doesn't hit on the firing pin, like the hammer does on hand blasters?
Right. So you're careful not to have a round in the chamber when you let the cocking lever down.
Real old blasters.
How come natives with bows and arrows also have blasters like that?
Find it a lot all the way across Deathlands. Dirt-poor squatters and a stinking frontier pest hole so low the pigs eat better than people can end up with a top-quality python or magnum. Those blasters could be well over the 100-year mark.
I've never been down this far south. Spent a little time in Mexico, college days, checking out some Toltec and Olmec ruins, all part of the great Aztec Empire.
I read about the Aztecs. Fascinating, the strengths and weaknesses of their way of life. Staggering beauty and appalling violence. I read an excellent book on them once, so long ago. Also covered something of the Mayas and the Incas farther south.
They tribes, Doc?
Civilizations, son. The Lakota and the Chiricahua could be called tribes, I guess, but when you start thinking about the old ones, like the Anasazi, then you are talking about an entire civilization.
What's the antelope for? And what's this triple weird stone for?
Mildred glanced at Doc before answering.
My best guess is that the animal is a sacrifice and the stone is likely some kind of altar.
Flattened top and a channel to carry the blood over one side. Maybe to be caught in a vessel of some kind. And there's a crude sculpture of a man with a snake issuing from his mouth. Serpent God. For once, Dr. Wyeth, I find that we are on the same side of the fence.
Altar? They come all the way out here to leave a sacrifice to their gods? The gods of the jungle? Wait a minute. That hacked-out trail runs from here all the way to the gateway entrance. Almost like they're sacrificing to that. They moved cautiously along the 15-foot-wide track, heading roughly westward, though it curved and twisted on itself like a poisoned rattler. The jungle pressed in closely on both sides, with impenetrable walls of brush, some of the shrubs with murderous spines 6 inches long, and everywhere was the overpowering scent of flowers. Christy was at Ryan's heels.
Be a good place for an ambush, lover.
You feel anything?
No. Sort of seething life, but all of it seems to be away in the background. No immediate threat.
Could be 100 armed men within 50 feet of us and we wouldn't know. Ryan looked behind, checking that everyone was keeping a proper spacing.
I thought Trader didn't approve of taking chances like this. What would he think?
He'd have thought there was no choice. Then chances don't come into it.
Oh, I'd sure like to find that crystal pool. We're all dehydrating at the rate of a pint an hour, maybe more. We go on too far, Ryan, and we'll all get ill. And after that, we'll all get dead.
They took a break about 10 minutes later, resting in another clearing, all of them flopping to the ground, close to exhaustion. Mildred walked over to join Ryan and Christy.
Never known anything like this humidity and heat for sapping strength.
Doc's not handling it well.
The old man was sitting, fanning himself with JB's fedora, his lips moving as he muttered to himself. In the stillness, it was just possible to hear what he was saying.
Or is that the one that holds the poisoned pellet, caught at the court of King Arthur?
Sounds like Doc's off his head again. Poor old guy.
Can I recon, Dad?
My orders are simple. To go on a recon and find us some good fresh water within less than 100 yards from here. And if you sort out some food, then you get a double plus point. And be careful.
On my way.
Ryan lay back on the lush grass and closed his eye, thinking about the location of this latest jump, somewhere to the south of Mexico. His knowledge of the geography of Deathlands was second to none, but that knowledge extended only a few dozen miles south of the Big Grandee. He dozed, his last thoughts involved with wondering whether this might be the Shangri-La that he and Christy were endlessly searching for. Their paradise, their promised land, the Golden City. In Ryan's mind, there was water and pasture, and maybe mountains. A small homestead, secure and solid. And himself, there with Christy and with Dean. It was a place of safety, where a man could finally stop running, stop fighting.
Dad!
What is it, Dean?
Ryan sat up and opened his right eye, feeling the beginnings of a headache.
Found it! Water! Not far from here! And there's loads of fruit there.
Ryan blinked, aware that his son's excited face was streaked with sticky threads of yellow juice.
You sure it's good to eat?
Course! Delicious. Peaches and nectarines and some other stuff I don't know the names of.
Everyone else had already sat up. Even Doc seemed to have snapped back into the real world.
What kind of water, boy?
Hey, little water boy, set your water bucket down and bring me a long, cool drink. There's a sweet Ganymede.
Doc, that's not my name. Are you feeling...
Feeling double fine and looking triple good, thank you, Dean Cotter. Though I confess that I was fatigued for a moment or two due to the lack of access to the best produce of Adam's Brewery. But now you bring us the finest news. Ganymede, cupbearer to the gods. It is drinkable, is it, lad?
Sure.
You tried it?
Jack stood up. The teenager seemed to suffer from the damp heat less than the others, though Ryan knew that a hot, bright sun was bad news for his deathly white skin.
Sure.
No piranhas?
Don't think there's... never looked.
Hell, let's go see.
There were no piranhas. Dean led them along, scampering like Puck, beckoning for them to follow him around the curving track, past a bank of fragile violet orchids.
Right here!
Everyone was infected by the boy's enthusiasm, running behind him, though Ryan, JB, and Jack still had their weapons drawn and cocked. And there it was.
By all the stars that shine in the bright diadem.
It was possibly the most beautiful place that Ryan had ever seen. The pool was about 100 feet across, surrounded by banks of emerald grass. Beyond that came a circle of flowering bushes, dripping delicious scents into the still air. And surrounding the shrubs were the mighty trees, great giants of the tropical rainforest, soaring 200 and 300 feet into the cloudless blue sky. The water in the pool was clear and limpid. Waxen lilies were scattered across the surface, filling the day with their deep, sensuous smell.
Like a picture in a kid's book of the Garden of Eden.
Gaia, I can't believe that a place like this exists in Deathlands. Oh, stoop. Of course, I forgot for a moment we aren't in Deathlands.
Can I swim, Dad?
Hold off a minute. Don't just go jumping in blind, son. Let's take a long, careful look at this. See the way the sun's reflecting off the surface?
Sure, so what?
Dean, the sun means you can't see much of anything. You can't see what's living in the pool. Could be gators, snakes, any kind of dangerous, muty creature.
Looks so pretty, Dad.
Prairie Rattler's one of the most beautiful of God's creatures. Doesn't stop him from putting you in the boneyard, Dean.
Ryan walked on the lush